Hebrews, I believe it's the 7th chapter, the 25th verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, we've gone through the Jesus is my rescuer. I want to move over to this morning and look on Jesus is my keeper. We need to realize that it is because of Jesus that we are preserved. A lot of things come our way. A lot of things we experience during this thing that we call life. And you have to realize Jesus is the only one that can keep you. Even before you even had a knowledge of Jesus and the power that he offers to mankind in terms of keeping power, the Holy Ghost is keeping power. A lot of times people want to try to do things on their own, but then they realize they just keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. Well, the Holy Ghost is keeping power. Holy Ghost enables you to be able to go through things the right way so that you don't have to keep on repeating it over and over and over again. I think I was sharing with the brethren yesterday one of the comments I think that was made concerning some of the challenges that go along with relationships and things of that nature. We don't ask for a lot of the stuff to come our way, especially when you're dealing with relationships. Human relationships is one of the hardest things to manage. I don't care, you know, people can run businesses, they can train animals, but when you're dealing with another human, that's one of the hardest things for people to realize to do. You have to do. That's going to be the biggest challenges that you have in life, is when you have two people that are independent thinkers trying to come together to become one. And say, what does that mean? What does that look like? How is that supposed to function? And a lot of times, you know, life, because of the changes that go on through life, we just get off track. I mean, we just get off track. And when you realize you've gotten off track, you have to have a mind to go back to the drawing board and be honest and say, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong? Where did things get off? And Lord Jesus, give us the strength and help us to keep our minds humble to get things back on track the way that they should be, all right? So when you're looking at the concept of Jesus is your keeper, we're going to look at these three verses that are here. I'm going to start with the Jude, verse number 24. It's right there in your bulletin. It says, now unto him that is able to do what? To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, we oftentimes quote this at the end of our morning service. We quote that, you hear it, and a lot of times I'll be looking at people's mouths as my mind is up. I see y'all quoting it right along with me. But that's a good scripture to kind of get embedded in your mind for you to understand why you are where you are. Jesus is the only one that keeps us. We do not keep ourselves. Jesus is the only one that has the power to keep us. That's what makes him God. We don't know what we're going to confront from day to day. You don't know what the rest of your afternoon is going to look like. You don't know what your next week is going to look like. That's the big question mark. You just don't know it. You have to lean and depend on Jesus to carry you through it. Regardless of what comes your way, how it comes, who brings it, you're going to have to learn to depend on Jesus to carry you through it, because he is the only one that can keep you from falling. Everybody understand that? Jesus is the only one that can keep you from falling or not meeting the mark. If you go over, didn't tend to go there, but let's go over to the book of Philippians. I want to make a little pivot. We're going to get into Philippians eventually, but I want to look at what Paul has to say there in Philippians. I believe it's chapter number 2, I believe it is. Chapter number 3, I'm sorry. Chapter number 3, starting at verse number 7. I guess I'll read. My wife is not in here. I don't know what happened. Chapter number 3 of Philippians, verse number 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless." Now, everybody understand that when Paul is making this statement here in verse number 7, when he was saying that when he came to Jesus, he had to let things go. In verse number 4 through 6, he kind of gives you his carnal resume, the way he thought things should be. Verse number 7, he says, "If anybody should be confident in the flesh or trust in that flesh," he says, "I'm more." Then he tells you what happened to him. He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was from the stock of Israel. I'm a tribe from the tribe of Benjamin." The tribe of Benjamin was a warrior or a fighting tribe. He says, "Concerning the Hebrews, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Touching the law, I was a Pharisee." In other words, I was not an ignorant person as it came to the law. I studied the law. And then one writer he went through, even in the book of Acts, when he was being questioned there, he said he excelled far above all of his other brethren. He was very devoted into his learning, into getting an understanding. And then when it came down to Jesus, he had been taught how Jesus was contrary. Jesus was going against. Jesus was an enemy to the Pharisees, or the teachings of the Pharisees, or the ways of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees. And he said within himself, "I ought to do many things contrary to Jesus." He felt that within himself. If anybody was going to be against Jesus, he says, "I should be that one, because I want to make sure that when it comes down to the Almighty God looking at me, I want him to know he got a good worker. He got somebody that's really serious about his performance." But little did he know, when he was doing things against Jesus, he was doing things against the Almighty God. He thought Jesus and God were two separate people. He said, "Well, I'm serving God himself. And because this Jesus is going against all of the teachings that I have learned from my youth, I got to fight against Jesus hard." And whenever Jesus' little disciples stand up, I'm going to do my best to put them back down. And wherever little Jesus' disciples are trying to hide and do their little things or whatever, if I get word that they're doing it, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to ask for authority to fight against them. I'm going to ask for authority to bring them into prison, to silence them. I'm going to persecute them. He didn't just say to stop them. He wanted to persecute Jesus' people. But then when it says when he had gotten orders to go down and deal with the group of Jesus' followers, while he was on his way, scripture says that a light shined above the brightness of the sun and knocked him, as along with the men that were with him, down to the ground. And the scripture says that while he was there, he knew that whoever that light was, it wasn't just anybody. He said, "I know that this has to be the Almighty God." But he did not know who the Almighty God was. He was serving him, but he didn't know who he was. And he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And in his own language, in his own tongue, that voice said, "I am Jesus," right? And now can you imagine the hurt that Paul felt, knowing that he did all of these things to be against Jesus? And then all of a sudden, when the Lord told him who he was, the Lord says, "I am Jesus." So Paul said, "Oh man, I've lived a messed up life. You know, I done made all of these mistakes." He had a life that was full of regret, because he realized he had devoted all of his life to doing things contrary to the name of Jesus. And then for God to knock him down And for him to ask the question, who are you, Lord? And that voice says, I am Jesus whom you persecuted, right? I'm the one that you're fighting against. I'm the one that you're trying to prevent from moving forward, right? That thing hurt that brother. Hurt him to his heart. Hurt him to his heart. And it took the Lord's preacher to help him to better understand what real love is. And that's what brought you here. All of that stuff you were doing out there that you knew you shouldn't do. It was a persecution to Jesus. It was a persecution to his ways. You know, when you lie and when you cuss and you say things that are foul out of your mouth, that's a persecution to Jesus. Because Jesus is looking at you saying, I didn't make you to do that. I didn't give you the breath in your body for you to express yourself like that. I didn't give you that mind for you to put that foolishness and that garbage up there in your brain. You're supposed to be presenting your body as a living sacrifice. You're supposed to be glorifying me in the life that you live and the service that you render to me. Everything should be about lifting Jesus up, right? Come on, that's truth. That's truth. So when Saul or Paul had realized that, it took Ananias to break that thing down for him and help him to understand the love of Jesus. And Saul, after he got, dealing with all of that, Lord started blessing his mind, filled that brother with the Holy Ghost, and he began to work. I mean, he began to work. The thing that he was destroying, he was trying his best to build that thing back up. And all those relationships that he destroyed, he tried to go back and fix that stuff. You know, and it's no, even when people, a group of saints were there gathering, and they said, oh, Saul is coming, or Paul is coming. They got nervous. They said, oh, this is everyone that want to persecute us. And he said, no, I've changed. And you know, I'm no longer that one. And this is why he said when the Lord separated him and called him to be an apostle, he said, he was last seen of me. He said, I'm one born out of due time. I'm not fit to be into this work. I'm not fit to bear this title. But he realized it was nothing but the grace and the mercy of Jesus. It was the loving kindness of Jesus that called him to do the work that he had been called to do. And that's you and I too. When you look back over your life and you realize all of the horrible things that you did, all of the horrible choices and decisions that you made that were not like Jesus, it was still his love that gave you a mind to be saved. That's right, his love gave you that mind. His love woke you up out of sleep and said, Jesus, I want to be saved. Jesus, I want to get my life together. I realize sin has ruined me. Sin has robbed me. Sin has tried to take away my potential, making me not think that I can't be this, I can't be that. But Jesus said, yes, you can. You can live a life to please me. You can live a life to make me happy. But you've got to realize the errors of your ways. You got to realize the errors of your ways, and you got to let Jesus deliver you from that. That's true. You got to spend time with Jesus so he can break those scales from off of your eyes and help you to clearly see who you are and what he has designed you to be. That's true, saints. You got to be willing to let that stuff go that represents the old you. Can't carry that around and make it a part of your resume that you're glad to gloat about. You got to say, no, I don't count any of this stuff as gaining, but I count all of that stuff as a loss. Huh? Come on. Verse number seven, Philippians 3:7. He said, yeah, what profited in me? Huh? What profit is it for you to know what tribe from Africa you descended from? Huh? What profit is that? What profit is you for you to go around to gloating about your blackness? Huh? And you can't gloat on that. And you can't gloat and run around with that and then get mad at the white man for being gloating and running around with his. Both of us are wrong for thinking that way, right? We realize we are no better than any of them, right? And see, that's the fault of the man. The man has boasted himself up in the pride that is not like Jesus. The pride that is like Jesus is you say, well, what should I be happy about? You realize it is from one blood he made us all. Huh? Come on, from one blood he made all of mankind. We are all descendants from Adam and Eve. Huh? Somewhere down the line, our blood lines cross. You say, well, Scudder, well, why do we look the way we look? Our ancestors, when the great confusion of the tongues came, and when we couldn't understand one another and get along with one another, we migrated in the earth and all different sectors of the earth. And that's where our ancestors originated from. Some hotter climates, some colder climates. And as a result of time, our body features changed. Huh? But it did not change the makeup of who we are. All of us still needed blood to exist. Huh? Come on. All of us still needed blood to exist. And whether our skin got darker or whether our skin got lighter, whether our nose spread it out or whether our nose thinned out, whether our hair got nappy or whether our hair got straight, we realized we all were dependent upon blood. And the writer said, why do we deal so treacherously one with another? Huh? Seeing it is just one God that made us. Huh? One God made us. And why do we allow that devil to divide us? When you look at the households that are supposed to be places of faith, places where the name is at, they're the most racially divided groups that you will ever find. And we've got to fight against that grain. When we're carrying the message of Jesus, we got to fight against that grain. We got to say, no, I just can't pass out the tracts in the neighborhoods that look like my neighborhood. I need to give the message to every creature. Huh? Even when the creature don't understand my tongue, when they don't understand my language, I need to tell them how to take it, read it, look at the picture, see what Jesus can do for you, right? That's the truth. One blood Jesus made us all. We need to get rid of all of that stuff. Get rid of all of that. I know. We just live in a society that wants to help divide us. Huh? You say, Elder Scudder, what we going to do for Black History Month? Same thing we did the other 11 months. Huh? Talk about Jesus. Huh? People want to recognize these things, but they're just divisive. They're divisive. They're divisive by nature, saints. You have to be willing to get rid of all of that stuff. You realize when I went down in the water, in the name of Jesus Christ, I gave up my blackness. I'm no longer walking around talking about black pride. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. I was bought with the price. Huh? I'm no longer my own. I belong to Jesus. The life I now live, I live because of him that loved me and washed me from my sin in his own blood. Right? That's the truth. I can't let the world dictate how I should behave. Can't let the world dictate how I live. Huh? No, no, no. You say, Elder Scudder, you're not happy about who you are? No, I am happy about who Jesus made me. Huh? But the same happiness I got to other fellas, he's due to be happy also about the same thing. But he can't think he's better than me, and I can't think I'm better than him. Huh? I can't go down that path. I can't go down that divisive path that tries to make me look down on those that are dependent upon the same thing that I'm dependent upon. Huh? I need Jesus just like they need Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost just like they need the Holy Ghost. And if they got it, I want them to tarry with me until I get it, right? If I have it, I want to tarry with them until they get it, right? That's the truth. You got to count all of that stuff. Y'all understand this? It's not a popular message. I know it. But you got to count all of that stuff as loss. There's no gain to it. Huh? You can go back and get all of your ancestries. Find out what tribe you come from. But it's no gain to it. You once you look at where you came from, you're still going to conclude the same thing that everybody else concludes. What is the conclusion? I was born in sin. Huh? In sin did my mother conceive me. Huh? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Huh? Just like that white man want to live, the black man want to live. Huh? All of us are striving to live. Huh? But who is life? Jesus. Jesus is life. And in order for me to gain life, I got to count all of that stuff as lost. Huh? It does not profit me. It doesn't move me forward. It only holds me back. It only keeps my mind divided and isolated, right? That's the truth. I had to count that stuff as lost. Come on, read the rest of that.
Here, I count it all for Christ.
Yes.
Shoulder, yep. I count all things.
Lost. Do you do that? Is that your mind? You're talking about what is repentance? You got to count all that stuff as lost. Huh? Come on. You got to realize I have nothing. If I don't have Jesus, I have nothing. Huh? Come on. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care how many names, your deeds, you got your names on it. You are nothing. You have nothing if you do not have Jesus. I don't care how many schools you go to. I don't care how many degrees you get. I don't care how many numbers and letters you get behind your name. If you do not have Jesus, it profits you nothing. Huh? What are the facts? The facts are you came into this world naked. Huh? And you are going to leave naked. And you're not going to take anything that you acquire. Huh? Y'all got that in your mind? You came into this world naked, and you're going to leave naked. You take nothing with you. Huh? You could have 20 kids. All of them 20 children are going to be left here to deal with your naked body. Huh? Come on, do y'all understand this? You come on, I'm trying to help you to realize the seriousness of life. Do you realize when you're dead, somebody's going to have to clothe your naked body? Huh? You say, well, the Scudder, I'm a woman, and all of I got is a bunch of sons. Them sons are going to have to clothe your naked body. Huh? But I don't want them to see my shame. I don't want them to see what I've got. You got to realize it does not matter. Huh? It does not matter. You came here naked and you're going to leave naked. The thing you need to worry about is your soul. Where will my soul be at, right? Where will my soul be at? Huh? Come on. You can have all that you have. Your house can be full of stuff. Your bank accounts can be full of zeros and all kind of numbers in front of those zeros. But where will your soul be? Huh? Come on. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen real fast. You're going to be breathing down here one day, and all of a sudden the breath is going to be taken away from you. And you're going to blink, and your eyes are going to open up, and you're going to see something you never saw before. Something called eternity. And where will your eyes open up in eternity? Huh? I want my eyes to open up on Jesus. I want my eyes to open up in eternal glory. I want my eyes to open up and look on the holiness of God Almighty. I want my eyes to open up and look at the Redeemer, the one that completes my salvation. I want my eyes to open up and see holy, holy, holy praise all day long. That's why I want my eyes to open up. I ain't trying to look for streets of gold. I ain't trying to look for gates that look like pearls. All I want to see is Jesus. I don't want to see who's up there. I don't want to know how many people are up there. I just want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus for myself. That's why I fast. That's why I pray. That's why I run for my life. Because I want to see Jesus. Huh? That's true. If your eyes don't open up seeing Jesus, the book got another place for you. Rich man, he died. And the folk buried his body. But when he opened up his eyes, he said, my soul is in torment, being tormented away in this flame. Huh? Come on. You trying to avoid burning. Yes, you are. You ain't trying to look for no fire. You trying to avoid it. But there's one day, if you're not where you need to be at, your soul is going to be tormented. Huh? In a flame. How long will you be there? Writer said, day and night. Forever and ever. Huh? Soul is going to cry out for relief. Do y'all understand that? Folk are in hell right now. Crying out for relief. Crying out for a way to get out. But there is no exit. There is no open door to get out of there. How you can look left, right, north, south. There's nothing there but torment. There's nothing there but agony. There's nothing there but pain. Huh? Come on, there's no Tylenol. There's no fire extinguisher. There's no mama and no daddy to relieve you. You are there by yourself. Huh? And you got to have a mind to say, Lord, help me. I don't want to go to hell. Take me off of that broad road. Take me away from the crowd. Take me away from the masses of the people that have no mind to be saved. Lord Jesus, save me. If my mom and my daddy don't want this, Lord Jesus, save me. If my brothers and my sisters don't want this, Jesus, save me. If my friends, people in my neighborhood don't want this salvation, Jesus, save me. Let my soul live, Lord Jesus. Let my soul live. But you got to count all of this stuff. Is that what that scripture say? You need to count all of that stuff, huh, as a loss so that you can get something excellent. Huh? Come on, saints. You talking about you want Jesus. You need to realize Jesus is excellent.
Yes, he is.
Jesus is the thing that allows me to excel. Huh? You got too many problems down here on this earth. Huh? And if you're not careful, this stuff will bombard your mind. This stuff will give you suicidal thoughts. This stuff will give you a mind to say, there's nothing worth living for. Huh? Come on, you need Jesus. You know what that word excel means? It means to go up. Huh? Come on. It means to go up. See, that means Jesus allows you to go up. No matter what you're going through. No matter what the doctors say to you. No matter how bad your family and your friends treat you. The name of Jesus will excel you. Huh? It'll allow you to go up. Huh? You ain't got to go on no vacation. You ain't got to buy no plane ticket. All you need is the name. Huh? All you need is the name, right? The name excels you. Name lifts you. That's why we tell you when you're down there tarrying, you got to look past all of the attacks of the flesh. Huh? Flesh say you're tired. Flesh say you can't. Flesh say your arms are tired. Huh? Come on. I know the flesh. I've wrestled with the flesh. I've fought the flesh. Huh? You have too. You've wrestled with the flesh. Huh? You fought the flesh. And many times in your life, the flesh won. The flesh won your battle. It made you do things you would not do. It made you say stuff you would not say. Huh? Make you ball up your fist when you had no mind to ball up your fist. Huh? That's that flesh getting a victory over you. That battle don't stop because you call on the name of Jesus. That flesh says, I don't want you to live. I don't want you to get the victory. And I'm going to fight you with everything inside of you. But that's why you need the name of Jesus. When it feels like you can't go no further. When it feels like your body ain't got no more strength. That's when you need to lean back and just say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, deliver me. Why, I need your name to excel me above all of this stuff, right? Need your name to lift me above all of this stuff. Got too many changes going on in my body. Huh? Come on. As you get older, you're going to have changes that are going to happen in your body. Stuff is going to happen that is going to be out of your control. Huh? And you're going to go to the folk that you think can help you. People that have been studying the bodies all of their life. And they're not going to know what to do. Huh? You're going to see them look right in your face. And you're going to say, this is going on. And that is going on. And they're going to say, hold on 1 second. You're going to see them turn to a computer. And you're going to say, well, you ain't doing no more than I can do. I can Google my conditions just like you can. Huh? I can tap into a medical database just like you can. Paying you all of this money. And then the thing out there give you all the symptoms. They say, you got this, you got that, you got this. And they say, medication's over here. Say, well, we can prescribe you with this and prescribe you with that. Huh? And you'll be looking, is that going to cure me? Is that going to take away the change? Is that going to give me a sense of normalcy? They say, no. Huh? Then you can't be cured. What you mean I can't be cured? Huh? Where did this stuff come from? I was fine yesterday. And the day I woke up, stuff just falling off. Stuff just stopped operating. Stuff ain't working like it used to work. What happened while I was asleep? Did I have a bad dream? Did somebody come in and give something to me in the middle of the night that I don't know about? Doctor say, I don't know what you're talking about. But all I can work with is what you brought me. And I'm telling you, I can't cure you. Huh? I can't cure you. All I can do is give you some medicine to help you to cope with it, to help you to deal with it. And you get sick of taking medicine after medicine, herb after herb, rib treatment after treatment. And you be saying to yourself, who can deliver me? Who can deliver me from this body of death? Y'all understand that? Can't nobody deliver you from this body of death. Nobody but Jesus can do it. He is the sole Savior. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can bring you peace. Y'all understand that? When you feel like you are lonely, when you feel like you're sad, when you feel like don't nobody love you, that's the time you need to lean on Jesus. You need Jesus to help you to excel. Come on, saints. I'm trying to give it to you best way I can. You need Jesus to help you excel. You don't need no friends. You don't need no loved ones. You don't need no vacation. You need Jesus. He's the only one that can help you excel. That means take you higher. You feeling real low. But Jesus know how to lift you up. Come on. I'm telling you something. I know it. There have been many times I've come in service and the enemy will be bothering my mind. And he make you think, ain't nobody coming. Ain't nobody going to do. You got to deal with them same faces over and over again. And I be saying, Lord, how long have I been here preaching? You hear me crying. You hear me praying. And you, I know if you be honest, you get like that too. You be saying to yourself, how long do I have to keep on dealing with this stuff over and over? But then the Lord lets you get in here. Saints get to call it Jesus. Songs of praise. Get to going. And it's like the Lord says, get out of yourself. Forget about yourself. Put your mind on Jesus. And just accept. He just lifts you up. And you be trying to figure it out. You be saying, Lord, how you gonna make me feel better than how I'm feeling right now?
something out of the blue. He just gives somebody a mind to walk in the door. Somebody you ain't even asked to come. Somebody you didn't even ask to come. Just walk through the door. And they don't even realize how much of an encouragement. And it's not them. It's Jesus. Jesus heard my prayer. Jesus heard my prayer. And he allowed me to excel. He know how to lift you up. If you just put your mind on him, he know how to lift you up. He know how to lift you up. Let you realize you're not by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. Lord said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. Your mother and your father's going to forsake you. Family's not going to be nowhere to be found. But Jesus will be right there. Come on, that's scripture. Jesus will be right there. And it says, now unto him. He don't share that authority with nobody. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what falling. When I feel like I ain't got the strength to move on no more, he tells me, yes, you can. Come on. Not by your power, Stephen. Not by your might. But by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus is not dead. He's alive, right? By the Spirit of the living God. Holy Ghost, it get in you and it lifts you up. It give you strength when you don't think you got no strength. It touches your mind. Even when you don't think you have a mind, it touches your mind. Tells you to get up. Get up and move. Get up and go. Get up and run for your life. Come on, saints. Get up and run for your life, right? Get up and run for your life. Come on. Count all that stuff as loss. For the excellence of the... Come on. That's all you're here for, is to get a knowledge of who Jesus is. Jesus is your Savior. Come on. Jesus is your Savior. When you feel like you can't make it through, just get somewhere and call on Jesus. Say, I said, I can't get on my knees. My knees are hurting. Get on the edge of your bed and just get on that edge and say, Jesus. Tell me you don't let go of that name. Don't you let go of that name until that name lifts you up. Don't you let go of that name till that name lifts you up. You go to the doctors. Doctors be giving you all kind of negative reports. I mean negative reports. You need Jesus to lift you up above that stuff, right? And you don't put your trust in some man or some woman to be there for you, to love you, talk about they care for you, and they ain't nowhere to be found. They're liars. They're liars. They don't want the truth to come out. You are a liar. You made vows and promises you didn't even mean to keep. Why? Because you are a liar. It's truth. I'm telling you, they did the best they could. They did the best they could. Because they were trying to do it without Jesus. They were trying to do it without Jesus. And somewhere along the line, they said, I'm tired. This is getting on my nerves. This ain't what I thought it was going to be. But I'm trying to tell you, if you get Jesus, Jesus will help you to go above all of that stuff, all of that disappointment. It disappoints you. to take you above it. Huh? Sometimes you love so hard. You love so hard till you ain't got no more strength. Huh? You be looking. You just say, I'm tired. Huh? I'm tired. Because all I keep feeling like is I'm giving. And all you doing is just I'm there. All you just be giving. But Jesus just lets you go above it. He lets you get your composure. And he give you just what to say. Huh? You don't have no regret. I'm trying to tell you. You don't have no regret. You look at him dead in the face. And you say, this is what you're going to do. Huh? If you're going to stay here, this is what you're going to do. It's not no negotiation. Huh? You gotta have conversations like that every now and then. Just gotta say enough is enough. Huh? And the Lord give you, y'all excuse my voice. The Lord give you what to say. Huh? He give you, one writer say, a more excellent way. See, holiness is a more excellent way. It's a way that excels you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Come on. Read me a little bit more. Let the excellency.
The knowledge of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
My Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss.
Of all things. See, everybody don't want to do that. Folk don't want to repent like that. See, when you repent, you got to say, I got to get rid of it all. I'm coming to Jesus with my pockets empty. With my brain empty. And saying, Jesus, you fill it up. You give me everything I need. He give you new brothers and sisters. Huh? Folk that you ain't never even known. Huh? They become closer to you than your blood brothers and your sisters. And you need to let them love you. Huh? See, ain't nothing like the saints of love. You need to let them love you. They be caring for you. Huh? See, you be going. You be going. And you can't even hug your brother or your father no more. But then every now and then, see this brother, big as he is, strong as he is, every now and then, he just get right on my shoulder. Say, Elder, I love you, man. And I know what he's doing. He don't want me to see his face. But he said, Elder, I love you, man. I need you right now. I'm just going to hug you. I said, it's going to be all right, brother. Ain't nothing funny about it. Nothing funny about it. But the Lord has given me a brother closer than my natural brother. My natural brother, I can't find him. He don't want to talk to me. He wants nothing to do with me. But the Lord said, I'm going to fill the gap. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to fill the gap for you. I'm going to give you brothers you didn't even know you had. I'm going to give you sisters that you didn't even know you had. I'm going to give you mothers. See, my mom and my dad, they love me. But the Lord know I got a work that I got to do here. Huh? And I'm 2 hours away from them. But the Lord know I still need a mother. I still need a mother. And the Lord said, I'm a bring you senior saints. Senior saints that'll fill the gap in for you. They call me pastor. But then they come and hug me. See, his mother, every time she sees me, she kissed me right here. See, the Lord knew what I needed. He said, you ain't got your natural mother with you. But the Lord said, I'll never leave you. She makes sure she hugged me. Even on that hospital bed. I'm trying to tell you how serious this thing is. Even on that hospital bed. all that she's going through. I went over to her. She found the strength to lean on and kiss me right here. I said, thank you, mother. I love you, mother. And he ain't jealous. They not jealous. They don't go run and say, that's my mama, Elder Scudder. But they treat me just like I belong. Jesus know what you need. He give you a way that excels. I'm telling you, I'm not just talking this. It's what I actually have lived. That's the truth. I think about that Sister Martin. Lord has blessed that sister at her age right now. She writing a book. Y'all understand? I'm trying to help you. See, love do that. Love saw what she was trying to do. And I don't mean to talk about it, but maybe we need to hear it. She brought all her notes. And I just went to type it. Yeah. Typing the stuff all up. And I brought it to her. I said, no, sister, you read through it. Make sure it's right. She said, I read through it. It's done. Whatever you say, Elder Scudder. Now, those are not my thoughts. No. Those are her thoughts. Right. And she give them to me and say, type them up. Right. Make them the way that they need to be. I give back to her. Say, fine. And she said, well, Look at this, Elder Scudder, what you think? I said, well, this is what I don't think. She don't know me from a can of paint. But see, when you have Jesus, Jesus just connects you. And you feel like it's a connection that you had your whole life.
That's right.
Your whole life. Found a publisher. Publisher book. I'm rejoicing with her. Most folks be looking and saying, well, make sure you cut me in because I did X, Y, and Z with you. That's what I'm not saying. I'm telling you what people will do.
Right.
I want my cut for whatever you give me because I did X, Y, and Z. Uh-huh. But see, that's why you thank Jesus for making the connections that you make. The Lord don't rob you. The Lord don't do you harm. He cares for you like a little baby. When you would be ashamed to cry, Lord say, let it out. Let all your tears out. Nobody is going to hurt you, right? And you just come in here and you cry. Folk come and love you. Hug you. Tell you it's going to be all right. Come on, saints, it's the truth. Jesus does that. But you got to count all of that stuff that you went through as a what? As a loss. You can't try to drag that stuff because the Lord said, I'm cutting that stuff off from you. For what reason? So that I can give you some power to excel. Y'all let me cut the baggage off. Tell the Scudder, I can't fly. My wings is heavy. Check your pocket. Check your back. You may got some weight on you. Well, writer told you to lay aside every weight and all of that sin that does so easily. It's hard to get that stuff off of you. But you realize that stuff attached to you real easy. But you got to work to get that stuff off of you so that the Lord can give you the strength to go above. Come on, and what does it start with? It starts with the knowledge. That word knowledge means an understanding. He going into your brain. Y'all understand that? Lord ain't going into your body. He going up here first. He going to give you something to think about, right? He's going up here first. And he going to change the way you think. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. You just got a mind to say, I want to live for Jesus. I'm sick of all this stuff. You know, it's almost like, y'all remember the show Cheers? Everybody know your name. What it say? Everybody glad you came. What it say? I don't know the words. But I'm going to put it like this. See, when you come to the Lord's church, saints be glad you're here. They don't even have to know your name. They don't even have to know where you coming from. You could have just got finished killing 20 people out there. You come into a holiness church, them folk will hug a murderer. I'm trying to tell you how serious we are. Saints will hug a murderer. Saints be like this. You'll be running from the police coming in here. Saints be like this. So glad you're here. Come on in here and sing about Jesus. You'll be like this. Saints be like this. And we be just, Jesus. FBI be done come through the door and they be sitting up there trying to find him and lock. He won't even fight it. He said, I'm guilty. And the FBI agent be sitting up there. We be saying, Jesus. He be putting the cuffs on him. He said, you sit right here for a little bit. Because I need some Jesus. That's what holiness will do for you. And I ain't got a pistol in here.
Nope.
I'll just be a dead duck.
Right.
Somebody come in here try to rob us, we just be some dead ducks. But one thing I'm gonna tell you, they gonna get some Jesus before they get out of here.
Yes, they are. We want Jesus.
Soon as they come in here and point the gun, we're going to get the call of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you. It works. It works. We done seen it happen. We done seen it happen. Folk coming in thinking they're going to threaten and make us nervous because of their lifestyle. And all we do is say Jesus. And when it don't hit the first time, we say it again, Jesus. Until the Lord changes it. Until he take us above. All that stuff that's going on. Finish me out with that verse. I'm going to let y'all go. You done turned something else? I'm sorry. Yes.
Of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things,
yes.
Have them but done.
Come on, saints. Right. What are you looking to do? meaning you got to let something go in order for you to get this.
Yeah,
you can't carry your dead weight and expect Jesus to bless you.
Right.
You got to let that stuff go.
Right. Let it go.
And say, it's not worth my soul. Whatever it is, it's not worth my soul.
Right.
Keep going.
It says, and be found in him, not having my own.
Come on. What comes to my mind? Romans 8 and 1. Mm-hmm. That writer said to be found where? There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are where in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Lord's what? Huh? I need to be found where? See, every day you got to be working at this, saints. That devil be trying to pull you out the circle. You got to fight against that stuff. And say, no, I got to stay in Jesus no matter what it costs. You're not going to move me. You're not going to move me. My heart is fixed. Y'all know what that means? It means that I'm not going nowhere. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up. I'm determined to stay in Jesus. Read me a little bit more. See, huh? You got to be careful about all these places. Everybody be trying to get up and talk about how right they are. You don't need to be there. You don't need to be there. You need to be somewhere where Jesus gets all the glory. Lord, bless you with a new car. You say, I thank you, Jesus. Huh? Lord, bless you with a new house. I thank you, Jesus. Saints said, we're going to come over and pray for your house. Oh, no, no, no. Y'all can't come over my house. The Lord ain't give it to you then. Huh? You be glad for the saints to be there. Before you even move in there. Say, saints, come on in. Pray for it. Huh? Saints will be walking around to say, ooh. This is out there. Look. If this is my house, I wouldn't be my. Thank be glad. Yeah. Say, thank you, Jesus. Right. Look what the Lord did for us. Right. Look what the Lord did for us. Right. Be happy about it. Yeah. Say, to move you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Say, well, when is your move date? And they say, well, I'm moving November 1st. Saints say, all right, we moving November 1st. All hands on deck.
Right. Yeah.
Move out of one place, move into another. Saints be glad to help you. Yeah. We just move you. We do what you got to do. And this don't move you. Those that can't lift, they start to clean it. Huh? Amen. When we move back in the house, saints was all up in my cabin. Wiping stuff down. I said, thank you, Jesus. And they sit back just like, they help me. Oh, God, I'm tired. Want something to drink? Yeah, give me something to drink. Why? Because it's our blessing. It's our blessing. Huh? And the truth, saints, that's what it's like to be around the saints. Huh? That's what it's like to be in the household of faith. That's what it's like when your inheritance is among those that are what sanctified. We are brothers and sisters together, right? Amen. So I'm done. I ain't going to try your patience no longer. I could have got a lot more.